You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everybody, to the Week 17 edition of the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast, the flagship edition. I'm Drew Dinkmar in the host chair, joined by your usual host on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast Network, Davis Maddock, who's in the analyst chair. Davis, this is Week 17. This is your grind, man. This is like half preseason, half teams playing for something. This is your week, right?
Well, no one's going to work harder than me this week. And everyone who's already listened to the Swolecast already knows that I stole this bit from Peter Overzet. It is true that week 17 is, generally speaking, my favorite week of DFS, other than week 4 of the preseason, because this is the time of year when knowing who Ball State's third leading wide receiver in 2016 is actually going to be useful for NFL DFS. You know, we're going to talk about names in this podcast like center Reese Perry, former running back of Rutgers University, who's now the Bills' fourth stringer, but they signed because they have nothing to play for. So I feel like of all the shows where they were going to bring us in with you hosting and me analyzing, this is actually probably the best one that they could have done.
Yeah, this is basically going to be Davis giving hot takes on every single collegiate player's athletic profile that is going to get a shot at playing time, and me telling him that, hey, you should actually just play guys that are playing for something this week. That's basically what this is going to be.
You know,
Davis
you know what?
Give you all the 1% actually, owned gems, though.
You make a point that I think people are going to just breeze through. But if you just limited your player pool this week to guys who are playing in competitive games, they're going to be out there for all four quarters if they're not going to get hurt. I think that probably you're limiting your chance at winning $1 million or winning $100,000 of getting, you know, truly first place. But your results on average, single entry, 3 max, 20 max, are going to be a lot better because there are just going to be so many guys who get a little bit of hype, get a little bit of ownership, and then like legitimately don't play.
Yeah, I think that'll happen. I also think there's more context to thinking through situations where guys are getting opportunities, and we'll talk through that. If you're unfamiliar with the pod at this point, I don't know how you got here. It's week 17, and this would be a really random time to start listening to this podcast. But the way we'll go through this is I'll go game by game. We will talk through the injury or playing time concern situations. Davis will give some DFS takes around the plays and whether the game is game stackable or not for tournaments. And I will do the same, and we'll kind of keep it moving. 15 games on the slate here. There's no Thursday night football this week, no Saturday football this week in the final week 17, just that one Sunday night game. So we'll start with Chicago and Minnesota. And this is one of these games, Davis, that, you know, the two teams really have nothing to play for. Minnesota's locked into the sixth seed. The Bears and Matt Nagy have already made some comments about being interested in getting a look at younger players. So guys who have been out for a little while, like Taylor Gabriel, would not expect him back. On the Minnesota side, I would not expect Dalvin Cook to play. I would be very leery of any.
That's the big question, is Madison going to play?
But even if so, I think they're just going to try to get – I think they're going to treat this like a preseason game. So Madison was limited to practice on Thursday. So was Dalvin Cook. These guys have been practicing this week a little bit more. But what I think you're going to see from Minnesota is this game treated like an actual like preseason game where, you know, starters might play a series or a quarter or something like that. And then backups might play another two quarters and then third stringers. And so for me, this game is like a total stay away in DFS. Are you interested in this game?
I mean, if Dalvin Cook and Alexander Madison are both out, I'm definitely interested in the Mike Boone flop leg. Yeah, 100%. Because Mike Boone is going to go from being this is actually true. He was the most picked up player week over week this year in fantasy football at all before the week 16 game against the Green Bay Packers. And now, like, no one cares. Like, everyone thinks the guy sucks and is complete dust. And, you know, I kind of think that, like, Chicago, they have absolutely nothing to play for. They're a bad team anyways. They're, you know, just, you know, it just is. It's not like I'm afraid of their run defense or anything. So if Cook and Madison are out, I am a little interested in Boone. And maybe the correct answer, though, is to be into Abdullah, who had played more snaps and was targeted 7 times in the passing game last week, though we only recorded 4 rushing attempts. I think that Boone had 13 to 11.
Yeah, they had some – they had some comments after the game, like they pretty much always do, which is that they didn't run the ball enough. That's pretty much the only complaint that they ever have from the coaching staff
right there.
So, you know, we'll see what they do. I just don't, you know, the Bears defense, even if they're playing, you know, like Akeem Nicks probably won't play, but I think they'll still play like Khalil Mack and those guys. I don't think they'll, like, you can only sit so many guys in general. And I just don't, think Minnesota's offense, if they're playing with second stringers, Sean Mannion is going to be moving the ball a ton. So I just, you know, for me on a 15 game slate, I just cross a game like this off entirely.
Shout out my Oregon State Beavers, Sean Mannion.
Brandon Cooks, right? Yeah.
Brandon Cooks, they were teammates.
Just as valuable as Sean Mannion these days. All right, let's take it to the next game. The Jets visit Buffalo. Buffalo, another team that has absolutely nothing to play for in this situation. You were talking about Center East Perry.
That was a joke, though. I legitimately, I have no notes. Like, there okay. is not. Okay, if I was gonna have to play one player from this whole game, it would probably be Isaiah McKenzie, just operating under the assumption that they don't play Beasley and they don't play John Brown, and McKenzie just gets to rotate in there with Matt Barkley and get some gadget plays. But that is the only playable name I can pull from the whole game.
Yeah, so from an injury perspective here, Andre Roberts didn't practice on Thursday, but the Bills have been remarkably healthy pretty much all season. I mean, that's one of the reasons the Bills have had such a good year, similar to the Bears from last year, where, you know, it's been a combination of a good schedule and improvement from their players, but also incredibly fortunate health. And so they're not super banged up. From the Jets side of things, Demaryius Thomas still isn't practicing, can't imagine he'll play. Robbie Anderson was limited in practice on Thursday. So we'll see if he's trending towards a questionable. But the Jets obviously have nothing to play for here. I again, a game that I probably don't have much in the way of interest in. I think the total is going to be in the mid to low 30s, high 30s maybe. Just not a game that I'm going to be playing a lot.
Just like, why? Like, why?
Yeah.
Just why?
Don't see any point. So let's keep it moving. New Orleans visits Carolina. Finally, a game that we have some interesting things to talk about. From an injury, from a playing time perspective, let's talk about New Orleans first. They do have some motivation to win this game, but maybe not as much.
It really depends on who you ask. Like I've heard a bunch of different people say different things, but what it comes down to is they're not going to know the results of the Seattle-San Francisco game because that is the night game. But Green Bay being this massive favorite over Detroit Like, it's basically like, you know, if Sean Payton has a PA tell him at halftime, oh, Green Bay's up 28-0 over the Lions. It's like the only reason to keep playing Michael Thomas and Drew Brees would be to, I guess, get more records for Michael Thomas.
Right. So the way that this works for New Orleans is if Seattle beats San Francisco, they can be the number two or the number one seed. But if San Francisco wins, they basically can only get to the number two seed, and that's all via a Green Bay loss. And Green Bay is double-digit favorites against Detroit. So this is a game that we might get like a half or three quarters from the New Orleans starters. Sean Payton has historically rested guys, so I think this is one you need to be careful of. That being said, I think three quarters of New Orleans, if they were blowing out a team or Green Bay was blowing out Detroit, I think would probably be enough to be pretty valuable, especially when it's guys like, you know, Michael Thomas, maybe Alvin Kamara. I don't think that, I mean,
those guys rate well in our projections right now because we don't have any of this stuff baked in.
Right. So we will likely bake some stuff in as we get more clarity as the week goes on. But in terms of like game stacking this game, obviously we've got Christian McCaffrey chasing down the 1,000 mark.
216 yards to break the record.
216 yards to break what record?
The total yards from scrimmage record.
Total yards from scrimmage. Okay. So, and he needs what, like 70 receiving yards or something like that to get the 1,000. So I think he's going to be, you know, narrative street city with the ball being fed to him. And I think that makes it, you know, game stackable. It's a situation where if I was going to stack this game, it would be the New Orleans side with McCaffrey as the bring back, but that's very expensive to do. So it kind of becomes, this is the game where, for me, if you're going to take shots on all those like cheap players that are running into playing time, it's probably with a game like this where the stack pieces are very, very expensive ones. Do you anticipate yourself playing much of this game come Sunday?
I will almost for certain have a lot of Christian McCaffrey. I didn't fade Kobe's retirement game, and I'm not fading Christian McCaffrey needing 216 yards when the coaching staff literally is like, we want him to get the records, which Carolina is so obvious, and it's so tilt. Like, they're a 6-win team, and they are playing their starting running back 100% of the snaps, you know, giving no snaps to Reggie Bonifant. And Will Greer checked down to McCaffrey 15 times last week. Whatever. Like, I think it's so stupid. But, yeah, you have to play a ton of McCaffrey. Thomas is – I know that we don't really talk about cash games on this show, but Thomas is a guy that I'm going to be, like, wrestling with myself all week on if I'm going to play him in cash or not.
In terms of injury situations for Carolina, because I kind of skipped past that, DJ Moore in concussion protocol, he's questionable. We'll see how that develops over the course of the week.
I expect he will not play.
Right. So they're not – they don't have a lot of wide receivers in general on their roster. So that would certainly open up things for like Jarius Wright, who's really cheap, Curtis Samuel to potentially get a big workload. But again, it's probably just going to be a lot of inefficient offense to Christian McCaffrey is probably what it's going to be. So I think this game has a kind of one-way track to potential stacks with the New Orleans side. Any disagreements there? Are you interested in any of these secondary New Orleans guys?
We are talking about stacks, but like, just you can't make me use Will Greer. No one can make me use Will Greer.
There you go.
I thought he was good in college, and man, did he really, really try and prove me wrong.
All right, let's move it to another game that does have some playoff implications for seeding. Similarly, the Kansas City Chiefs at home against the Chargers here. The Chiefs are, you know, about touchdown favorites or so, which actually seems a little bit light, but I guess that's kind of baking in the risk the Chiefs you know, don't put the pedal to the metal here. In terms of playoff situations for the Chiefs, they need a win and a New England loss to be able to advance to the 2 seed, and New England's playing the Dolphins at home.
Basically the same as the Saints, where if Andy Reid checks his flip phone at halftime and sees that the Patriots are up, you know, we're looking at Matt Moore and Darwin Thompson. But, yeah. Man, I don't know. I think Miami's scrappy.
You got that Laird bug. Yeah, I mean, New England's also a team that is, I mean, they, for them to blow teams out, they kind of need defensive touchdowns to right. do it. They're just not generating enough points offensively. But in terms of this game from an injury perspective, checking in on the two teams, with the Chargers, there's not too much here. I guess Philip Rivers was limited with a thumb issue. Actually, I swear to God, I would be more excited about the Chargers offense right now if Philip Rivers didn't play with Tyrod.
Oh, Tyrod, week 17, I'd feel good about that.
Yeah, so I don't think that's – I mean, I guess that's a concern or whatever, but I would actually be happy for that. Spencer Ware was put on injured reserve for the Chiefs, so we assume LeSean McCoy will be back in the picture this week after he was inactive.
Love that. Love that for our friend Damian.
Damian, you know – if somehow you you had a team get to the finals with Damian, he put up the type of performance that you really looked at your bench and said, why the heck did I have this guy all year?
The thing is, when Damian was starting these games, by and large this year, he did well when he was not injured.
Yeah, 4,700 on DraftKings. I think he's very much in play. So I think you can stack Kansas City in this game. I think you need to be thoughtful of how much salary you're spending on the stack, because I think it's kind of unlikely that Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill pays off altogether if these guys without the Chargers really keeping it pedal to the metal. So I think you need to be thoughtful there, but I think this game is in play for stacks.
Do you want me to go full Galaxy Brain? This may Let's threaten to be the top Galaxy Brain take on a podcast ever recorded. If you really wanted to correlate your plays, to the utmost degree, what you would do is you'd correlate them with the game that you need to not blow out. So with the Chiefs stack, you'd correlate them with the Dolphins scoring points on offense, or you'd correlate the Saints game with the Lions scoring points on offense.
I do like this. I do like this idea. I think it makes good sense. It will be tough to execute. But it does make sense, and you can.
Well, the Lions have no good players, so that makes it tough for the Saints.
That makes it tough, and Miami's not going to have players that project well. Obviously, you know, Devontae Parker's been incredible, but he'll probably see a lot of Stephon Gilmore, and he's really expensive. The Dolphins have a 14 implied total.
Man, so I am so bummed out that I was with my family and friends during the Bills game when Stephon Gilmore got burnt for like a 70-yard touchdown by John Brown, and I didn't feel like arguing with people on the internet, and I would have wanted to tweet tough touchdown there for the wide receiver cornerback matchups crowd, and people would have gotten upset, but I didn't want to argue.
You missed out on all the engagements.
I missed out on a good tweet
for hashtag family time. So Gesicki, I guess, would be a guy, you know, reasonable price tag that you could kind of pair. But again, with KC,
Wilson and Ford too, I think.
Yeah, that's probably the better route, is probably Albert Wilson or Isaiah Ford there. I think the good thing about the Dolphins is they're a team that literally could just choose to never run the ball, because they're just so inefficient running the ball that basically that's what happened last week and the game kind of shot out. So I could see pass with that with a KC Chargers Miami stack. Kind of hoping that the Chargers keep the game going, but also that Miami keeps the game going. A little tricky to execute there, but I think it makes sense. All right, let's move to the next game, which is the game that I think will have the most attention on the week, because it's been this way all season with Atlanta and Tampa Bay. These two teams have been the defenses and the offenses that you've been targeting all season long for game stacks, because they have really high pass percentages and their defenses aren't that great. Now, Tampa Bay's defense has been playing a lot better down the stretch, so has Atlanta's. So the total for this game is a little bit more muted than I think what we expected in terms of injury situations. On Atlanta's side, Julio Jones did not practice on Wednesday, but that's kind of a normal rest day routine for him at this point in the season. I don't think there's much to be concerned about there. In terms of Tampa Bay, Chris Godwin has not practiced Wednesday or Thursday, so I would not expect to see him back. I think it would be the same cast of characters that we saw in that Saturday game against Houston. What do you think about this game from a DFS perspective, Davis? Because I think this will be the most popular game on the slate.
Just give it to me, man. Just give me Jameis, give me Justin Watson, give me Breshad Perryman, give me OJ Howard, give me Cam Brake, give me double stacks. The way I think that you could get unique, because I do completely agree with you, this is going to be by far the most chalky game, is the Atlanta secondary pass catchers. So Christian Blake, Olamide Zaccheaus, Austin Hooper. And I'm talking about like you know, 150 mass entry. But
good Lord.
The Falcons. You
went to their wide receiver threes and fours instead of Russell Gage. Like, you could just go to Russell Gage. I don't think.
Well,
what if
Russell Gage and Julio Jones and Austin Hooper just don't play, or they only play the first series or something?
Why would Atlanta do that? Why, like, they didn't do that last week?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I think that the ABC plays are Russell Gage and Austin Hooper, but I think that
Galaxy brain.
Yeah, I think the Mega Mind plays are Zaccheaus and Christian Blake.
Oh my God! All right. Yeah. So I think
to be fair though, I will probably just have. I mean, honest to God, close to 100. Like, I think my lineups are just all going to be Buccaneers stacks because Jameis is just really letting it fly. Like, the more wide receivers he loses, the more he's just letting it fly.
Will he start this game off with another pick?
Seems like a lock that he will throw an interception, and then, like, a bunch of people are going to play, like, Devonta Freeman and Cash, and the pick is going to be returned down to the 1 yard line, and Devonta Freeman's going to get the 1 yard touchdown.
Yeah. So I will say from this game, I think this game is also the game where you can find a lot of cash game options from if you are playing cash games. I think Julio, as long as there's no concerns about his health and he's on his usual practice schedule, 35 targets over the last 2 weeks, it looks like he's really trying to stat pad a big season here. I think the Tampa Bay receivers, the Perriman price tag's gotten hefty. He has played very well, but I'm in on O.J. Howard. I'm in on Justin Watson. I think those are pretty good price tags there. I'm in on both Matt Ryan and Jameis Winston. I think they're fine in cash games. I think Hooper would be fine. So I think there's a lot of cash game plays from this game. You know, good weather conditions. It looks like there might be a little bit of precipitation, but temperatures in the 70s, light wind. I think this game is a full go. Next game, Green Bay travels to Detroit. We talked about this one a little bit before. You know, Green Bay, they just basically control their own destiny in terms of first-round bye. So they have everything to play for from that perspective. Detroit has nothing to play for, of course. Detroit, from an injury perspective, you know, they've already placed Matthew Stafford on injured reserve. We saw them bring back Kerryon Johnson last week. I don't think there's much more to talk through there. For Green Bay, Alan Lazard was limited in practice on Wednesday. Jamal Williams did not practice with a shoulder injury on Wednesday. And I do think that's a big one because I think, obviously, if Jamal Williams was out of the picture entirely, even if you were concerned that Green Bay might call off the dogs kind of late in the game, you would be getting a full workload from Aaron Jones until that point. Now, he's very expensive at 8,200, but these generally week 17 slates are slates where you can find salary relief because there are players coming into new playing time. From a DFS perspective, Davis, how are you playing this game, if at all?
Davante Adams. A great thing about Aaron Rodgers being a huge jerk who trusts no one is that once you get inside of his circle of trust, in terms of being his wide receiver, he will just load you up with targets. And that Davante Adams, I think he's had a 34% target share since returning from his foot injury. And basically, when Davante Adams was gone, they cycled through Allison, MVS, Kumaro. They gave everyone a chance. And while MVS played well, it's just one of those things. It's just like, either coaches don't like him or Rodgers doesn't like him. I don't have a good explanation, but it seems like it's
Adams. Or he's bad. I mean that's
true. We're trying to. It's a factual podcast. We're trying to do. It's only database discussion, and right. I don't know why you'd feel the need to go outside of the realms of data. That was pretty rude. So basically, their passing game is just Davante Adams and Alan Lazard and actually Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams is targeted more often in the passing game than Aaron Jones, but I don't want to play any Green Bay players other than Adams. I actually think Adams, though, because Green Bay has to win this game and, you know, Rodgers, also noted jerk, would love to be throwing touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So I think that Adams is super strong play.
If Jamal Williams is out, you're not in on Aaron Jones? They have a 27 team total and they're two touchdown favorites.
So when you say Aaron Jones to me, all I hear is Justice Hill is 4,700, and it's just very hard for me to reconcile my exposure to those two individuals. No, I mean, Jones is going to, if Jamal Williams is out, Jones is going to project so well for us. There's no way I'm going to be able to ignore it.
Yeah. I mean, the price tag is really high, but I think he would project well enough. That he would be worthy of some consideration, because you got to remember, while they've had trouble garnering trust with those secondary receiving options, what's happened is the backs have actually had a pretty good market share of targets.
Yeah.
And if you were just funneling that all in the direction of one back, now it's possible they bring back Dexter Williams and kind of give him a look and try to split that workload and ease it off.
No, dude, they hate him. No way.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I do think Aaron Jones would be a better play on FanDuel than on DraftKings, because I think a lot of his value is through touchdowns, and he's a little bit cheaper on FanDuel as well.
Turns out when you score 60-yard touchdowns, though, it just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't
matter. You're a good play on both sides.
The Derrick Henry way to play. Yeah. All right, let's get to that Miami-New England game. New England is 16-point favorites at home. New England does need to win to get home field advantage, or not home field advantage, to get the first round bye. And so they will certainly be playing for that. In terms of injury situations, Julian Edelman is still limited in practice on Thursday. I expect it will be the same thing, where he'll be limited all week. He'll be questionable, and then he'll limp around on the field and play kind of key downs and get targeted heavily on those key downs, but lack explosiveness and big play upside. On Miami side, in terms of the injury situation there, Alan Hearns limited practice on Wednesday.
You missed one here in the projections, by the way.
I did. They threw Myles Gaskin on IR. So good God, are we doing this again?
So let's peel the curtains back, Drew. Let's peel them back for the people. I'm literally sitting in the projections right now, looking at the rates. What would you like to project for Patrick Laird's market share of rush attempts?
Who do they even have? Who else is there?
Delance Turner and They just signed someone who's, I mean, obviously not going to play. I can tell you Samaje Perine, single game NCAA rushing leader still to this day.
I would guess I would probably give Laird 50.
Okay, I gave him 60.
Because Fitz is going to get like 20.
We have him for 18.
Yeah, Delance Turner, dude, like, you just, like, they're willing to throw anybody in there. Delance Turner got carries last week.
Delance Turner had been on the team for a month before he got carries, though.
Right, because they went through Gaskin, Blage,
Laird. Sir, I'm just asking you to be reasonable.
I think 50 is reasonable.
Okay, so 50, we got 50? 20, yeah. Okay, I'm removing Myles Gaskin's.
I don't want to know what this projects for.
I'm removing Myles Gaskin's 7% target share.
Yeah.
What would you like to put Patrick Laird's target share at? I would say
11 is probably right.
You were more aggressive than me. I put 10%.
Yeah, I think 11 is probably right.
Dude, the people, let me tell you this. The people,
what does that give Laird for as a projection?
I mean, I'm very bad at using the back end because I don't use it very often, but I already know, just like, I'm going to go export this to the site.
You just have to look at the FanDuel or DraftKings point column that's like next to the player's
name. Oh my God. 16.28.
Oh, good God. Good at me.
He is the number one value play on several other projection systems across the industry. It's not just us. He's not just at running back, wide receiver, tight end, or quarterback. He's the best points per dollar play.
A guy on a team with a 14-point implied total and 16-point underdogs on the road. We're going to do this again.
I texted him Merry Christmas, and he texted me back Merry Christmas.
That's nice. Nice,
so that's my take on the Miami game, by the way, is that our Laird
is playing all the Laird. So there's, I mean, dude, your there is your Chiefs correlation. Why didn't you interrupt me when I was talking Chiefs Miami correlation?
Because I knew that you didn't have Gaskin projected out yet, and I wanted to do that whole bit.
Oh, what a bit. So I think Laird's going to be playing on DraftKings. FanDuel, I think, will be – I mean, he's so cheap.
He's free on FanDuel.
But still, they're so unlikely to score touchdowns. What is the upside for I can't talk to you about this. Can we like go to the bullpen? Where's Sanders? Is he in the Bahamas still?
We just did the projections together, and you were more aggressive on the target share than I was. So that's all I'm saying.
For FanDuel, I know he's like free over there, but for FanDuel, like, you can't get there on 5 for 50 and 35.
Yeah, for FanDuel, he's got to score, and he's very unlikely to score. Definitely a better DraftKings play than a FanDuel play.
Yeah. Oh my God, I can't believe this just happened.
Maybe they'll say P. Ryan is starting, and you'll get saved.
Maybe.
Seems unlikely though.
All right, from one dumpster fire in Miami to another, couple with Cleveland visiting Cincinnati. Cleveland 3-point favorites on the road here. Both of these teams have absolutely nothing to play for.
I am not playing any players from this game. I know that people want to play Odell and people want to play Juice, but I'm not. In fact, Leone will be playing Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham.
Well, Jarvis Landry is on the injury report. So is Odell. Again, limited practices early in the week. Jarvis with the hip, Odell with the groin injury. I do think, I mean, they're just so cheap. Like, they really are cheap. And Cincinnati's obviously given it up to everyone all year long. So I see the path here.
Odell is going to get 46 receiving yards, which is what he needs for 1,000 yards, and then he's going to limp off into the locker room.
Ricky Seals-Jones. He's on the injury report, too. He didn't practice on Wednesday with an illness.
What are they doing with Njoku? It's so weird.
It's very strange. In terms of Cincinnati, their injury – I mean, everybody's on IR on their injury report.
John Ross just set the – not set the record, but had the most air yards in a single game this year last week.
So you're going to play some John Ross?
No, I just thought I'd mention that.
He's 4,500. He's cheap.
I'm just joshing John Ross to the people.
So I don't mind some of this game, but I don't – I mean, I might stack it some with, like, Baker double stacks with Ross back. Like, I could see that working, actually.
I mean, we saw it last week. Like, the don't care bowls can get wild. Yeah. Like, they can just get wild. Like, that's something that's true.
In the temperatures in Cincinnati look like 60s. Like, it's not going to be, like, frigid cold weather. So I can kind of play this game a little bit, but I'm not super excited. The next game, I know we have a lot of talking to do. Arizona travels to the Rams. And this one, you know, neither team has anything to play for. I guess the Cardinals have Peter Overzet's season-long win total to play
for. Well, they have everyone sharp's season-long over. They have everyone sharp's overs.
I don't know if they're aware of that, but they do have that to play for. Sean McVay has said that they're probably going to rest or limit starters, and certainly the ones that are already banged up. So we would expect Jalen Ramsey to not play this game as an example. On Arizona side of the ball,
he's already out.
Yeah, okay. So on Arizona side of the ball, Kyler has been limited in practice this week with that hamstring injury that limited him last game where he didn't finish the game. And we saw Brett Hundley leading the Cardinals to that victory. Charles Clay did not practice. That, you know, has really minimal effect, but impacts some formation usage that they'd have. Maybe get a little more Max Williams out there. And then, you know, for the Rams, if they're talking about resting starters or not playing starters to the full potential, and they already have Daryl Henderson on IR, it would appear that it would be back to Malcolm Brown season for Sizzin. The Rams. Sizzin, as the kids say.
Malcolm Brown, John Kelly. And I mean, just let me tell you this. There's nothing I'm rooting for more than for Blake Bortles to start this game. That's really what I need to finish fantasy season.
This Blake Bortles take, I mean, give it to the people, but I'm not as enthused as you are.
Like, do you know that Bortles runs, bro?
I do know that Bortles runs.
Do you know that Bortles has a better career yards per carry than Michael Vick?
I did not know that.
Did you learn that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I just learned that.
How does that make you feel about Blake Bortles now against Arizona?
It really doesn't do anything for me. But
how do you feel about all the musical chairs going on at quarterback this year? And how so many franchises are going to be looking for a new guy. And maybe Blake Bortles is looking to make himself a little bit of cash. With a Matt Flynn moment.
The Blake Bortles narrative streak.
I mean, every quarterback who gets the Week 17 start, you just got to peddle the Matt Flynn narrative.
I mean, that one year, that was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
Six touchdowns or whatever he threw against, was it Detroit, Stafford, and
Flynn? He had the NFL record for passing yards in a game for like a year.
Unbelievable. All right, so you're definitely on this game, and you know Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald. You said you didn't fade Kobe. You fading Larry Fitzgerald?
It's not actually Fitzgerald's last game, though. I just don't believe it.
You think he's coming back?
I mean, he just spent like the last 5 years playing with John Skelton and these horrible quarterbacks. Now he's got Kyler. I'd probably play another year if I was him.
Kenyon Drake going to score, you know, 25 fantasy points every week from here on out.
So Kenyon Drake, it'd be good to play him if he's going to score 4 touchdowns and or just run for 80 yard touchdowns at will. That would be nice to know if that's going to happen. There's probably like no way I would only play him in game stacks of this game. And like, just there, like if
Tyler Higbee flowchart.
Dude, how bad was our Tyler Higbee projection last week?
Well, I mean, the challenge with these things when guys come back is you don't know how healthy they are. And Gerald Everett, like, they cleared him kind of early, and then he played 5% of snaps.
I think that I think he got Wally pipped. That's what the kids call it. He just got outplayed so brutally that there's no way they could send Higbee back.
Yeah, I guess so. So Higbee and I mean, who are you stacking with Blake Bortles if you're getting these Blake Bortles stacks?
I mean,
under what situation are you playing Blake Bortles? Is it only if they say they're not playing Goff at all, or if they say
correct? Yes. So I'm not like, dude. I'm not like, come on, man.
You need to be questioned.
So yes, the only way I would play Bortles is if they're saying Goff, he's not playing. He's the backup. But we're gonna give Blake a chance to run the offense today. And I would imagine in that scenario, Brandon Cooks probably sits just because he's made of paper mache. And I would imagine Kupp and Woods get like a half, and then it's going to be JoJo Natson and good Mike Thomas and Josh Reynolds. And you know, that scenario kind of intrigues me.
You're a sicko, man. You're a sicko. Christian Kirk, one of the dudes that I played off the injury report last week, played 80% of snaps and did nothing. Are you going back to Christian Kirk?
Just feels like it's the Martingale system. Like if I don't. what is this all even been for?
You and Christian Kirk have had quite the season because you didn't even play that game against Tampa Bay where you had like 50.
Well, I played him in tournaments, but it just didn't end up mattering, right? Because I just didn't have the right stacks. And there really is nothing like eating two 45 burgers from 5K wide receivers in cash in a year. Like Fuller and Kirk just stole money. It is what it is.
Would you play Kirk before Kobe Fitzgerald? They're both priced about the same on DraftKings.
Yeah. So would I. This is football. Football is not like, unless the coaches tell you like we're trying to do this, like the McCaffrey things did. It's not the same as the Kobe thing.
Yeah, it's true. Larry Fitzgerald can't run out there and shove his teammates to take the ball and then go shoot it.
Right. Like he can't literally be like, "Yo, I will Lonzo Ball. I'll literally kill you if you do not pass me the ball."
Yeah. All right, let's move it on to Oakland visiting Denver. Oakland still has some playoff hopes, some outside playoff hopes. It requires minor miracles. I mean, they need like 10 – they need a 10-team parlay to hit, and I think they've hit like the first 5 legs or something like
that. No, the first 6 legs. First six legs.
All right. They are underdogs on the road in Denver, which just speaks to their playoff push here. In terms of injury reports for Oakland, Josh Jacobs had a surgery but still hasn't been ruled out.
I cannot stand this stuff.
I don't understand how that's possible. But, you know, we're not expecting him to play. On Denver's side of the ball, in terms of injuries there, they don't really have much on the offensive side of the ball. They're fairly healthy. From a DFS perspective, Davis, are you going back to DeAndre Washington if we were without Josh Jacobs once again?
Yeah, big time. DeAndre Washington, better fantasy asset than Josh Jacobs because they actually call passing plays for him, but they don't for Josh Jacobs. No one has explained to me why that is, but that is the case.
Especially after Josh Jacobs' collegiate career, where that was kind of the thing.
That was like what he did.
He was noted for, so a little bit strange. Tyrell Williams also popped up on the injury report on Thursday. I think Washington's probably the only guy, maybe a little Waller, but not a lot from Oakland side. I mean, this is one of the few teams that has a lot to play for that I'm actually not interested in playing players from their side. On the Denver side, you know, I think they have enough big play potential with Noah Fant and Cortland Sutton that I keep trying there, and I'm going to keep trying at low ownership in tournaments. But beyond that, I'm probably not too interested. We finally saw Deshaun Hamilton do something last week, but I don't think I'm going there. This is not a game stack situation for me. Are you playing anyone on the Denver side?
I will only be playing Cortland Sutton and DeAndre Washington from this game. I had Drew Lock Martingale system. I had a theory with him last week and it just didn't even end up mattering. Like they won the game, but Lock just didn't have to throw, and like Philip Lindsay ripped off like a long touchdown run, or Royce Freeman had one. So maybe I will Drew Lock Martingale system. I find myself kind of taken with Drew Lock. I think he might be good.
All right, All right. He's played like three games. Let's calm down.
He has a cannon, dude. Like it's very.
He idolized Jay Cutler. Like he just wants to be Cutler.
I mean, I liked Cutler. I was a pro Cutler guy.
Yeah. He wasn't on your favorite team. That'll change things quickly.
I can't imagine rooting for Cutler. I can't imagine rooting for Drew Locke.
Yeah, so I think Sutton's kind of interesting. Outside of that, I'm probably not in on this game a ton. One of my biggest mistakes and regrets from last week was getting caught in an Oakland game. They play so slow, and Denver's a team that is willing to play very slow as well. And when I recorded the flagship pod last week, I was not on that Chargers-Oakland game. And then as the week went on, I got a little bit more nervous about some other games I was in, and the projections liked both sides of that game, and I was like, fine, I'll play it. And it was really frustrating because I kind of went against my intuition there. Tennessee-Houston, the game for Tennessee that has everything on the line for Houston, not a lot on the line. From an injury perspective, well, Bill O'Brien says they're going to play people, which I don't understand why after Deshaun Watson was limping around and they lost.
They'll play like a quarter, I bet.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case from a playoff perspective, because I'd like to see all those guys healthy. On Tennessee's side, Adam Humphries is still not practicing. Corey Davis was limited in practice, and Khalif Raymond, another one of their wide receiver depth guys, did not practice. He's in concussion protocol. For Houston's side, in terms of the injury situation, no Will Fuller, so he's not going to be around as they close out the season. Kenny Stills was limited in practice on Wednesday. So was Watson and Hopkins, which, again, I have no idea why these guys are going to play if they're banged up, because they can't do anything to improve, right? They're locked into the four.
Yeah, there is nothing win or lose that they can do. So it makes no sense for them to play.
I don't get it at all. Unless, I guess you could argue maybe they're hoping at – well, no, because if Oakland got in, they'd be the six. Like, they're locked into playing Buffalo. They can't even control, like, opponent, really. So yeah. I don't understand it at all. I won't play anyone from Houston in this game. Are you going to play guys from Tennessee?
No. What do I look like, Soccer Dave?
Not going to play Derrick Henry?
I mean, if Derrick Henry's out,
who's back this week?
Yeah, I mean, if Derrick Henry didn't play, I would play Deion. But
yeah, AJ Brown pretty expensive. But
yeah, it's just like it's every week. It's like they play a game of like see if we can get people to play him at this more and more exorbitant price.
Yeah,
guy sees like four touches a game. What can you do?
Another game that is going to be hard for me to get exposure to. All right, let's move it to Philadelphia visiting the Giants. Philadelphia has to win the division here, or get a Dallas loss, and Dallas is playing at home against Washington. I am kind of intrigued by this game, but let's roll through the injury situations first. For the Giants, they have Darius Slayton was limited in practice on Thursday, Rhett Ellison limited in practice on Thursday. I guess Rhett Ellison could maybe come back, but he's been like – limited, and then like inactive every game for the last week. It's been Caden Smith, or for the last 3 weeks, it's been Caden Smith. On the Philadelphia side of the ball, JJ Arcega-Whiteside seems like he's going to be questionable. Jordan Howard still limited practices. Nelson Aguilar hasn't practiced. So I think it's kind of the same deal that we've seen. And then Zach Ertz hasn't practiced, and that's the big one. Because if Zach Ertz isn't able to play, I mean, good Lord, like Dallas Goedert is going to get every possible target.
Yeah, he's a mega lock. What do you think about Greg Ward?
I think you can play him. I mean, he's still not expensive.
I think he's like, he's got a little something, you know?
He's a very athletic dude. I mean, those of us who have played college football DFS before, he was just a monster.
He's not as fast as you think, though. He did not, I looked at his player profiler stuff, and he's not quite as fast as you think, but... Dude, okay. I love being on this podcast because I bet this podcast is normally like Ricky and Pacheco disagreeing with everything you say.
Yes.
So I have another good gal brain here. I think that college wide receivers who become or college quarterbacks who become NFL wide receivers are like inherently better at the position because they just understand their job better. They understand the coverage that they're facing better. What? And it's easier for them.
Why would they understand it better than somebody who's been doing it? I don't understand.
They understand the route concepts better.
All right, I'm moving on. I'm not even giving that attention.
That take has gotten steam when I've dropped it on other podcasts. So you're actually the one that's in the wrong.
All right, fine. cool. I'll be contrarian on this. I actually like this game from a game stack perspective.
I do too.
Yeah. Oh, we agree. All right.
Yeah.
So I think, look, the New York Giants offense, it's
good.
It's either fun and explosive or disastrous, depending on whether Daniel Jones is turning the ball over four times a game.
Right.
And I think we know where the ball's going on Philadelphia's side. So if we can figure out where the ball is going on the Giants' side, I think you can play this game in either direction. And the fact that Daniel Jones runs makes it interesting to me, too. Obviously, Saquon is priced up ridiculously highly after that huge game. He's now up over 9K on FanDuel. On DraftKings, they've got him up to, what, 8,700? So not that much more aggressive, I guess, than last week.
Yeah.
Three. But I think you can play this game. It would feel better for me if Slayton was unable to go.
I mean, play last week, like, at all?
He got hurt in the first quarter and then came back in the fourth quarter. So his stat line looks like he didn't play at all. He played very limited snaps. I would then be interested in, you know, Sterling Shepard. I'd be interested in Saquon as viable run backs. I'd be interested in those guys in stacks with Daniel Jones. Caden Smith keeps producing.
Caden Smith. We did tout it. We did tout it.
But I probably wouldn't run it in this game as much just because it would be Goddard season for me. I would play so much Goddard. And I would be very comfortable with when stacks that involve Goddard and, you know, Miles Sanders, assuming Jordan Howard is still out.
Sanders, what a crusher he's been. He's been a guy that I've been riding, man, like these last 3 weeks, God. And it's been pretty nice.
So I probably deserve to take a big fat L on this Miles Sanders preseason draft take when people were pumping him up into the fourth and fifth round, and I was like, this is ridiculous. I understand
that. Well, it was ridiculous for 8 weeks.
I understand that he can win leagues because Philadelphia at that time projected to have a good offensive line, and I think he's a really talented back, but I thought the cost was just ridiculous. And what it turns out is in football is, you know, sometimes the cost just doesn't matter at all because football is a game of random injuries and collections, and you can get paid off on inefficient bets. And that's really not me taking an L. That's me, I guess, going full Derek Hardy on.
No, incorrect. Going full Nate Noling, just being like, actually, if you were privy to all the data, you'd know.
I think all of us data people do this, and, you know, Cardi, Noling, myself, where it's like, you know, we'll take our L, and then we just give reasons that it's like,
we'll take our L, but actually, if you weren't an idiot, you'd realize that I actually won. Yeah, that is very much the data community.
Congratulations to those of you that drafted Miles Sanders in the fifth round.
And really, what you don't understand is it's more of an art. Season-long fantasy football drafting and zero running backs, it's more of an art.
I guess so. So, yeah, I'm interested. How are you stacking this game?
So, Sterling Shepard, obviously, I think is the guy that you want from the New York side of the ball. But Caden Smith, too, because all the tight ends are getting priced up. You know, we have Waller, Higby, Hooper, Ertz, Andrews, and even Goddard is at 4,900. But Caden Smith is still down there at 3,700. I think he is. I mean, he's just like, he never leaves the field. He plays every single snap for them and gets targeted commiserate with, like, Kyle Juszczyk or whatever, you know, like he's like a useful fantasy player and they use him near the red zone. So yeah, I get Caden Smith, dude. I'm in. And Greg Ward, I will be almost assuredly higher on the market, higher than the market on Greg Ward.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on that Zach Ertz injury information, because I think that really will shape the slate quite a bit. If he's out, as we alluded to, Dallas Goedert would just be such a smash play. Washington and Dallas. Washington going into Dallas. Dallas needs to win this game to have hopes of winning the division. They would need a Philadelphia loss. And, you know, Davis, the Dallas Cowboys have one of the highest implied totals on the slate at 28. Dak and the offense certainly did not look good last week.
So bad.
In terms of injury situations for this one, on Dallas's side, you still got Dak not practicing early in the week with the shoulder issue. So that does seem to be a concern on the Washington side. You've got Adrian Peterson, who looks like he's heading for kind of a questionable tag with a toe injury. Terry McLaurin in concussion protocol. Dwayne Haskins
Sims
is not going to play, so it's Case Keenum time. Our boy Steven Sims, who led us to victory over JJ Zach Eason in a dynasty league in the
I do really love that from us.
Can I one thing I do want to address on this podcast? I just want everyone out there that's in the fantasy community, when you're playing against each other in finals and whatnot, could you just be a professional? Could you just be a professional? Roasted. Because JJ Zach Eason was not a professional this week. He was just in our DMs telling us over and over how the matchup was over on Saturday of the halftime of the first game.
Well, Fuller got hurt. There was no coming back from it.
You can't overcome a 3-point performance from a wide receiver in fantasy championship.
What he actually couldn't overcome was us picking up Steven Sims and Greg Ward and just being mega minds.
Just being sharp. Just being sharp.
Just being sharp.
But I so when people do this to me, I hate this so much. When they go for like the reverse scouty, the reverse jinx, like, yeah, I'm dead. My team's done. And then they beat you and they're like, oh yeah, I was just doing that to jinx my team. I hate that. Be a professional.
I don't think I think because JJ doesn't gamble quite as much as we do, I actually think he sincerely was like bummed out that his team was doing bad and was just reaching out for condolences.
Came to the wrong place. Be a professional.
True.
It's true. All right. So Washington, Dallas, you playing this game? I mean, Dallas, you can stack, and if McLaurin's out, you've got these Harmon.
I will play only Sims and Harmon. Yeah, I'm not playing. Obviously, I'm not playing Case Keenum or Hale Hentages or. Yeah. You know what though? Some people are gonna mega mine themselves into playing Adrian Peterson, and to those people, I say, peace be with you. But I am not with you. There's just another like.
What are you doing with the Dallas offense?
I mean, dudes. You gotta play Zeke. They're feeding him. They're back in feed Zeke mode. He's one of our best projected players. And basically, every game that Dak has this shoulder injury, like it gets worse, and they just feed Zeke more and more.
What about Cooper and Gallup? Pretty good price tags on those guys.
No, dude, get Amari Cooper all the way away from me.
All right.
He's probably the sharpest possible 2% owned play of all time, but like you just got to make peace with the fact that he might get benched for Tavon Austin in the middle of the game. I mean he's hurt, right? It's not really his fault. He's just hurt. He's got 5 injuries.
Yeah. These things do happen. All right, last two games on the slate. Pittsburgh visits Baltimore. This is the game that I know you want to talk through. From a motivation standpoint, Baltimore has nothing to play for. They've already announced that Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram will not play this game. The concern for me is, yes, the replacement guys are interesting because they're going to come cheaply for a lot of playing time. But, you know, Mark Andrews also didn't practice on Wednesday. I'd be shocked if they played him. Michael Yonda has already been ruled out for – or Marshall Yonda, excuse me, has already been ruled out for the game. And so is Earl Thomas is not going to play. So, like, we know Yonda's out, but how many other – starting offensive line are going to be out. So like, what is this offense going to look like in general?
That is the question.
Pittsburgh's defense is pretty good. Top 5 rush defense DVOA. And on top of this, like if Baltimore is actively saying, hey, we just want to get out of this game healthy, aren't they just going to like run the ball every time and punt and like get off the field running 50 plays?
So I have an alternative theory for you that I would love your opinion on. They all love RG3, right? Okay, well, let's start with this as the thesis. That team loves RG3, true or false?
I have no idea.
It is a thing. He's like a big guy in their locker room. It's like him and Lamar are good buddies. It's a real thing.
Okay.
Second part of the hypothesis, at what point this year have the Ravens done anything conservatively? When have they just shut it down and been conservative at all? Literally not a game, not one game. They let him get to 5 passing touchdowns against the Jets when they were up 30 points before they pulled Lamar. I think the thesis behind the play for Robert Griffin would be, I think that they let him run not all of the Lamar stuff because he's not as big as Lamar and they don't want – like he probably doesn't want to get tackled 20 times. But I think you could certainly see something like 8 rushing attempts for 40 yards, and then you just get to see some of that other cool, like the all the cool like tight end slips and stuff that they do with Hayden Hurst and Nick Foyle. Like I think, because it's not like Greg Roman's just going to go back to being a bad coach, right? It's like, no, you think he's going to call the bad plays?
No, I don't think they'll call bad plays, but I just don't think they'll be – I think they'll be content to just run the ball a lot.
What is
– I don't think it's going to be super efficient. I think they're just trying to play the game and get out of there. And my concern is, like, in preseason DFS, which I don't play a lot of, but I know you do, if you had a team that – was going to play their twos against an opponent's ones for a long period of time, would that be a situation you'd want to exploit when you have all the other options? Like, it seems like a bad place to try to attack.
What you don't understand is that they love RG3.
Okay, that's it. There we go. All right.
No, so, I mean, the thesis behind the play would be that he's 5,100 and it's a divisional game. These guys don't want to lose these games to the Steelers, and he's going to run. That's the thesis behind the play.
The thesis for me would be that they're going to be playing with their twos against an opponent's ones that are pretty good. The opponent has all the motivation in the world. And on top of that, he's impossible to stack. So you're kind of limited from there. Like, if you want to play,
what if we Galbrain it and we say, so they're not running as often. What if they work out, you know, some deeper passing stuff with RG3? What if the Robert Griffin Seth Roberts stack is what brings home?
We've gone too far on the Pittsburgh side for injuries. James Conner didn't practice on Thursday. He looks like he's going to be questionable. We've got them basically like playing like 10 running backs and everybody getting
it's so weird
because that's apparently what happens with Pittsburgh now. Even if, you know, Baltimore is going to have a weakened defense from, you know, not playing their starters, I don't think you can play Pittsburgh offensive players at this point. There's too much split opportunity. It's not a good enough offense. So, I mean, for me, this game is a stay away, and we didn't even get into Justice Hill. I like Justice Hill as a player. I think Justice Hill is going to be an explosive player. I agreed with your take that he was a potential league winner this year. It just didn't work out because Mark Ingram stayed healthy until now. But I don't think Justice Hill against a top five rush defense with backup offensive linemen. With a rushing quarterback, like Damian Williams is the same price tag as Justice Hill.
Yeah, Damian and Laird are like the salary relief running back plays. And I say that with my heart in my hand.
Yeah. All right, last game of the slate, and then we'll get out of here. Indy visits Jacksonville.
Literally no plays for these teams
to play for. I mean, you say that, but Jacksonville's defense has been so bad. I feel like there's got to be somebody on Indy that we can target. In terms of injuries for Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette didn't practice. He's questionable. So we could get Reichwell Armstead week. I don't know. DJ Shark, limited practice on Thursday. He's questionable. Gardner Minshew also trending towards questionable. In terms of the Indianapolis side, Jordan Wilkins, limited practice. Not too much else there. I guess Quentin Nelson is in concussion protocol, so that's something to pay attention to. But let's say Jordan Wilkins was unable to go. You wouldn't feel good about Marlon Mack?
They still got Jonathan Williams.
Yeah, that's true. But they've given Marlon Mack the load. Like,
man, I'm not going to play Marlon Mack on a 15-game slate.
Okay, but, you know, we're going to play RG3, so.
Dude, it's just you didn't understand the thesis, and that's fine.
That's fine. If Armstead was a thing, no Fournette. Let's say Fournette doesn't play.
Big time jam on Armstead, I think. Because what you're going to see this week is there's going to be a lot of running backs who like might have a path to like 20 touches, but Armstead is like locked into it if Fournette does not go.
Yeah. All right. So I can get behind that one. That'll wrap it for this edition of the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. If you do like these podcasts, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Davis, you know how that impacts the iTunes rankings as you have surged through the charts.
Yeah, and then we fell back down after our Laird abandoned us.
But
that's okay.
But Laird week is back though, so it can happen all again.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if he goes off for like 30
just eat the cake.
Patriots?
Just eat the cake. That's all
cake,
I want to
Patrick.
See. I just want to see Patrick Laird eat the cake. That'll do it for us. We will have some playoff pods in terms of flagship, working on the schedule that we can figure out through that. But we will be covering the wild card and the divisional and the conference championship rounds with more content focused on the DFS side of things. Davis, you've got the Friday sports betting podcast. You wanna pimp that?
I mean, yeah, provided I don't die of this head cold tomorrow, I will have one of my buddies from somewhere in the Twitter community come on and pick some games against
someone
the
that
spread.
You scheduled so far ahead of time that you just haven't even been able to figure out who. But somebody from the DFS community will join you.
Well, it's normally Rich Rebar, but one of these days he's going to cancel on me.
Yeah,
one of these days.
All right, so that'll do it. Best of luck for everybody in week 17. If you are a Daily Roto subscriber, we will be back on Saturday with our premium podcast where we'll have better injury information and playing time expectations that we can walk through. If you're not a Daily Roto subscriber, you can check out a free trial at dailyroto.com this week. Go to dailyroto.com. I believe it's holidays / and you can use the promo code, I think it's GIFT, at checkout. We've got a free trial. The tweet is up on my feed. It's up on our Daily Roto feed and whatnot. So you can check us out for a free trial for 7 days. It's only available to new customers. So those of you out there that are trying to skirt the paywall for a week that have already been paying us, I'm sorry, it will not work. That's it. Davis, any final takes before we get out of here?
I have to make at least one Justice Hill lineup, because if he goes off and I have no exposure, I'm going to be the biggest fraud in DFS history.
All right, so Davis will have one out of 150 Justice Hill. He'll probably have a lot more. I will probably not. But that'll do it for us this week. Best of luck in all your games in week 17, and make sure to tune in to Davis's podcast on Friday as he goes through the games and the lines and gives you some of the picks to hit this weekend against the spread. Best of luck, everybody, and we will see you next week.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.